Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents...
Is that coffee? I can't believe I'm saying this, but... Drink up.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Well, that's bad coffee. Man, you know, I'm... it's every time I come into this room, you know, they got one job. Coffee places, they've got one core job, and it's to make coffee... Well, not even good, just well.
On WGR.
Just make me a decent cup of coffee. And it's Saturday morning. This is my first opportunity to drink a coffee, and now I'm disappointed.
Sports Radio 550.
Coffee! Yeah, baby!
Now, I find that mostly what I do on the show on Saturdays is I usually just start the show. I find something to complain about because I've got a whole week, Matt, to think of all the things that I'm going to talk about on the show on Saturday, and most of the time it just ends up being an opportunity for me to complain about things.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got a platform, and I'm going to use it to complain about the everyday problems that happen to me in life.
Everybody has them.
The voice you're hearing there, Matt Parrino, New York Upstate, joining me live here from Buffalo Sports. I'm McKinley Parkway, Hamburg. A lot of great promotions going on today, so if you've got some skates you need sharpened, they've got free sharpenings all the way till 9 p.m. today. They've got 15% off any ski gear. So if you are a skier, Holiday Valley, I know, is about to, if it isn't already open, it's going to be open. And they were making some fake snow a few weeks back when the first snowfall hit. There is no snow on the ground here in the South Towns, but my boy Pat Hammer, who was with us from WGRZ last hour, indicated we might have some snow in the forecast in the next coming days here. So 15% off any and all ski gear that's downhill or cross country. They're also purchasing skates and offering up to an extra 20% on top of their regular offer here. So if you've got a garage full of skates that you want to return, get some cash for, come down to Buffalo Sports. You can do that here on McKinley Parkway, Hamburg. But Matt, there's a game tomorrow. Did you know that?
Can you believe it? After all of this week, we're finally going to get a football game tomorrow.
It feels, you know, I don't mind the Thursday games. Obviously, it was Thanksgiving, so it was kind of like an extra special Thursday game. But it just feels like an eternity between a Thursday and the following Sunday game. And I've just been champing at the bit. By the way, it's not champing, it's champing. I've been champing at the bit to just get this game underway. I just want to know, like, when things start, when this game kicks off and the Bills or the Ravens, whoever gets the ball first, I need to do a better job, by the way, of allowing whatever happens in the first three or four drives not dictate where my head goes. Because after that first, I don't know, 10.5 minutes of that game on Thanksgiving, they go on that drive, they go right down the field, march on the field, and the Bills defense score. Bills end up punting. The Cowboys get the ball back on the 5-yard line, and Ezekiel Elliott breaks that 30-yard run. That happened, and I'm like, "Well, this was a fun season. I enjoyed it while it lasted, but we're gonna get embarrassed on national TV." Kind of how I thought. I mean, I picked the Cowboys. I didn't really give much credence to what the Bills had done up until this point in order to sort of give me the confidence to pick them against the Cowboys. But do we call it an upset? I don't think we can call it. The Bills are better than the Cowboys. I don't think we could call that game an upset, right?
I mean, it was an upset in the sense that every time anybody was watching this season, the Bills seemed to underwhelm. I mean, it started in the New England game, then the Philadelphia game when they had kind of their first prove-it game after that. So I think that there was some trepidation in the fan base that, okay, all of these millions of people are going to be watching our team, and they're going to go out there and they're going to get steamrolled by this number one rank, which, by the way, not a lot of people are talking about in the aftermath of that game and the debacle on Thursday night. Going to that game, Dak Prescott, this Cowboys offense, was absolutely torching everybody that was playing.
Everyone. Yeah. Everyone. And it wasn't necessarily translating to wins, Matt, but at the end of the day, everybody, and this doesn't necessarily hurt this narrative, Matt, because I still think at the end of the day, the best passing offenses in football are going to be in it towards the end of the year. I think last year the final four teams in the playoffs were the four best offenses in football. I don't think that that's – you're overlooking something when you think about offenses.
Can I give you a little stat on that?
Give me a stat.
Football Outsiders. I'm not the biggest DVOA guy, but I do like how they do the position groups and rank them. Mm-hmm. Offensive lines run blocking last year, they ranked them 1 to 32. The top three teams, New England, the Saints, and the Rams. Three of the final four. The three of the four best run blocking offensive lines in the league, the Bills have been the top three almost all season. They just dropped, I think, into the top five or at number five. Mm-hmm. But you still got to run the ball in this league. As good as you can be as a passing team, you got to be able to run the ball too.
That's right. And you know, the thing that I and I'm glad you brought up the offensive line, Matt. And we're going to talk a little bit about your article, which you can find up at NewYorkUpstate.com. Make sure you head over there. You can find it up at Matt's Twitter as well. He just posted the article. Matt is picking the Bills this weekend. And no, it's not as sexy as when Howard picks the Bills. But what I will say is, I think it takes a confidence to pick the Bills against this Ravens team based on what we've seen them be over the last 8 weeks or so. Before we really dive into your article, Matt, you mentioned the offensive line, maybe it's my fault. It could be a lot of our faults. We don't talk a lot about the offensive line because there are so many other storylines. It's maybe unfairly that this Bills offensive line just doesn't get the notoriety that they should about being a really, really solid unit. You mentioned their top three run blocking. But this is a unit now that I think is allowing Josh Allen to have the confidence that he needs. What was it, 3 weeks ago after that Browns game when Sean McDermott says, we have to play a little more fearless. We have to play fearless. You have to play without sort of the restraints of worrying of messing up on a particular play or throwing an interception. You have to play freer. And that's easy to say, but it's not necessarily easy to execute or to sort of implement that into your decision-making process when you're a young player. You have so many things, including processing the defense, and just everything that goes into what a young quarterback's thinking in the 35 seconds between plays. But to sort of free him up, a lot of that is because he's getting the time. I mean, we saw against the Cowboys, Josh Allen on play, almost go statue. Like, it looked like he had paused for 3 seconds. Like, you could count one Mississippi, two Mississippi. And there's just Josh Allen sitting there like a statue, getting the opportunity to read over defense. And there isn't a defender in sight, Matt. Like, I think that there's a really good chance we haven't talked quite enough about this Bills offensive line. But I think that they're one of the prime reasons that this offense has taken the steps it's taken, not only from the Browns game, but this is an offense that's sort of incrementally each week sort of climbing up the charts on a lot of what you mentioned, the DVOA stats, the efficiency stats across the league. And I think you can't really look further than the offensive line success.
The Madden controller broke, right? It died. The batteries died
funny.
On that play.
The Madden controller, it definitely died on the play.
But I think you make all great points with this offensive line, and it's what we talk about every year. When offensive lines are playing well, nobody talks about them. It's when there's something deficient in what they're doing as a unit that everybody kind of harps on the poor play. Go back to last season. I mean, you had Ryan Groy out there. You had Russell Bodine, Vlad Dukas. Everybody wanted to talk about the offensive line last year. But now,
for the wrong reasons.
Yes, now they're good. And I think this goes to something that I've been kind of harping on all the radio shows and the podcasts. Brandon Bean, what he executed over the last 12 months, ripping this thing down, starting 3 years ago, but the real, nuts and bolts of it all this past offseason, you go to that offensive line and the way that he rebuilt this thing, Quentin Spain and John Feliciano, Pro Bowl candidates.
Absolutely.
Were afterthoughts on the free agent market.
Quentin Spain was available until like April, May,
exactly.
June almost.
Exactly.
And you're thinking to yourself, and this is what I thought, when the Bills signed him, he was one of their latest signings in the free agency period. Mm-hmm. He, you can make an argument, is their best run blocker. And I don't think it's really an argument. I think him and Mitchell Morse are their best and most mobile run blockers when they get out. And you've got Mitch Morse and Quentin Spain coming at you. I don't care who you are. Those are a pair of big, mean, fundamentally sound run blockers. But your point about Feliciano, and I think it's really more so a point of the roster construction in general, is they went after players that weren't necessarily sought after, but it doesn't mean that the Bills didn't seek those players. Like, the Bills probably had them on their list, but I think the way that they approached building the offensive line is really impressive, because a guy like John Feliciano, I didn't have a lot of hopes for, and to be honest with you, when he started the season sort of in training camp as their starting right guard, I'm like, well, you got Cody Ford, let's bump this down. And they bring Ladrian Waddell in, who ends up getting hurt in training camp. We don't ever actually end up seeing his infiltration in the offense, but they're deep And they could afford to lose a Ty Insecki. They could afford to lose some of these guys for the course of a season, Allader and Waddell, because of the number, the volume of guys they got. Now, it's not just they got a bunch of scrubs. Mm-hmm. They got a bunch of really good above replacement level players. So if a John Felice, if a Mitchell Morse goes down, John Feliciano can move down to center. You bring in a Spencer Long, and you don't really miss a beat at all. Mm-hmm. It's impressive.
Exactly. And look at Mitch Morse. You know, started slow, didn't play the preseason because of the concussion protocol. All of a sudden, in the last 5-6 games, he has been an absolute monster.
Yeah.
And that's why you go out and you solidify the center position, because you go out there, you had to pay a lot of money, but it's been so worth it for what he brings in the locker room, on the field, and with Josh Allen. And oh, by the way, Brandon Bean saves Sean McDermott's draft pick, Deion Dawkins, in a lot of ways by all of the help that he gave him, because Deion Dawkins has blossomed into a left tackle that, you know, our buddy over at Cover One, Greg Thompson, put out a nice little podcast and piece about who he's targeting. And mm-hmm. $14 million for Deion Dawkins. Going into the season, what you think about that? That would be crazy.
You're kind of hoping to pray that you get if Deion Dawkins is worth $14 million, you're probably in a really good spot.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
And you know that I think that goes deeper on the roster as a whole, Matt. And when I went into this season thinking about what this team could be, a lot of it was what if, and that's fair. This was a roster that had a lot of question marks around it. The thing that I always thought, and this is something that I always think about with NFL teams, is it's very hard to calculate what a team's going to be at the beginning of the year, because if you draft well, you should have 3 or 4 or a handful of guys who are entering their third year. And I always think the third year is when you know the most about a player, or at least you can predict what he'll be for the rest of his career that third season. And three guys stood out to me for the Bills. It was Matt Milano entering his third year. It was Tre'Davious White entering his third year. And it was Deion Dawkins entering his third year. Those are the three guys that I looked at and said, if those players can take a step from, in some cases, a Deion Dawkins or an average replacement level player, Matt Milano, a guy we saw really high ceiling with, and then Tre'Davious White, who we thought could be an all-pro style player. If all those guys take the steps that all of us think they have, well, that changes the complete outlook of what this season could be. If all of a sudden Tre'Davious White goes from a really good player to an elite player, if Matt Milano goes from a good player to a really good or elite player, and if Deion Dawkins goes from an average player to a good to great player, those are three players at really important positions that have all been part of the reason this team is a 9-3 football team and not a 6-6 or a 6-7 team. And part of it is just that development process. And most times, Matt, we're talking about year three. Think about how many year three guys get to see the same head coach for all 3 years here in Buffalo the last 2.5 decades.
Continuity
None.
Is so, None. So key. And awareness. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott realized that the future wasn't there with Zay Jones.
Yep.
They move on.
Quickly.
They
yes.
get a fifth-round pick for it. And what it does is it kind of brings some energy. I think Zay was pretty liked in the locker room. But
I do
think
too.
It brings an energy to the room in that now we can all really kind of fit into our roles. You know, John Brown can become that number one. It's just a little note, but every day in practice, Zay Jones lined up at that first wide receiver spot. It's the spot he assumed after Kelvin Benjamin got traded. So the thought process in that room, I think, at least from his end, that he was still kind of the guy. Well, no. John Brown is the guy now, and we've seen it play out over this whole season. And I think that the continuity you speak to, I think that Trey White, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, Will, these safeties, the continuity under Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott is what's allowing this defense, I think, to reach the heights that it's reached. Because, you know, when you have that turnover and you have that, you know, kind of situation where, you know, you got to learn new things, they're just building on blocks each and every day. And they talk about it. We want to just keep stacking days. You know, that's one of the cliches in the locker room. But it's true. It's like anything else. You do something one day, you learn something,
yeah.
you can go and apply that the next day. And they can all do that every day. And I think it's just been so good for all of these guys. And Sean McDermott, for all of the heat that he's taken over, some of the in-game stuff, or, you know, us media guys give him a hard time for his
that's
press
right.
conferences, he has set a foundation here that's undeniable. His guys play for him. They show up for him. They give everything they got for him. Cole Beasley told me that he sets a standard of unselfishness within the team. So if a player has an idea, it's not, I'm the head coach.
Right.
It's, let's talk about it and see if we can figure out a way to get this thing going, dialed in here.
The trick play was something that the players came up with.
Exactly.
And it was implemented and practiced, and then when they felt comfortable, they ran the play. I loved the sound bite from Josh Allen this week talking about that play. It was essentially Dable was like, if they're in zone, you pull out of this play, get out of the play. And Josh mentioned something, well, it hit the 15-second mark, and Dave's got out of my ear. And I was like, we're sticking with it. And they stuck with it. And if I think it was on NFL, by the way, NFL Turning Point on NFL Films, they do like a 4-minute, 5-minute encapsulation of what the game was. And in that moment, that they showed sort of like in a slow-mo, and they focused in on the corner on the play, which I think was a woozy. And he just goes all the way with Cole Beasley on the other side of the field. It totally opens up the deep third on the right sideline for Devin Singletary to move up and sort of become wide open on the play. But they talked about that play being implemented up to like 6 weeks ago, and they kept running it and waiting for the right time to pull it out. And, man, they picked a great time on prime time on Thanksgiving. The go-ahead touchdown, that was, to me, and, no pun intended, that was the turning point of that football game. They scored that touchdown, and they never looked back. And, you know, to my point about these third-year players, Matt, the next year – that's what's going to be exciting about this organization and the rise, the meteoric rise they've been on from 9-7 to 6-10 now to what? Are they going to win 11 games this year? I could see 11 wins this year. And I thought that earlier in the season just based on their schedule. But three guys next year, Matt, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, and the guy that I think is turning into a household name here, Taron Johnson. Taron Johnson, I interviewed him his rookie year at training camp. And you could just get the sense about him that he had sort of been overlooked his whole life. And in college, he came from a small college, Murray State, right? I think is where he's from, Murray State?
Yes.
Murray State. And this is a guy that's from a small college program, comes in, gets injured, but right away he belonged in the NFL. You could tell he belonged in the NFL. Right now, he, to me, is one of the main reasons that they're such a unique run defense that they've struggled at times. I think they struggled a lot because of his absence during his injury. He is one of their best run defenders outside of their middle seven guys.
How many guys can you say on any given play of regular starters sell out 110% every play?
That's him.
And when you bring that to a unit, it's infectious. I mean, guys kind of feed off of that. And you've seen a couple times this season where he's made a big hit or tracked somebody down, and all of a sudden that kind of stuff kind of builds up. But, yeah, no, 100%. Taron Johnson is a guy that, he played outside corner in college.
Yeah.
And I think down deep in his heart, he thinks he still can do that. And actually, that's why they kept only two or three outside corners, because of the faith they have in Taron Johnson. If they need to ship him out.
Move him outside, they
exactly.
can. I'll tell you what, though. He has turned into just his ability to move from left and right. That's what makes him, I think, a really good cover slot corner. But he is a complete player in the slot. He's not a guy that's a liability in the run game or isn't good in one or the other. I think he's equally is – I don't want to call him like this player that I think is going to be a Pro Bowler, but he could be. He's so young still.
So young.
He's so inexperienced, and for him to have the success he's had is a testament to not only him and sort of his preparation and his ability to sort of fight adversity. I mean, two shoulder injuries and then a hamstring. It's not easy when you're that small of a player. The guy lays his body on the line, and so at times can worry you. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but I think his teammates defensively appreciate the way that he approaches the game from a preparation standpoint, but a willingness standpoint. He's the kind of guy that will put his body on the line, much like a guy like Josh Allen, where teammates really respond to that. And I think the sort of play that encapsulates not only Josh Allen this season and maybe what he'll be over the course of his career, but how this team responds. I think that fourth down play, it's cliche because that's kind of the play that everyone talked about, was him, fumbling the snap, picking it up, and making that first down. It was unbelievable. It wasn't as maybe sexy or as unbelievable as the Minnesota game we talked about where he hurdles Anthony Barr, but it was a play that I think really describes what Josh Allen is about. And the response he got from his teammates, it almost gives you the chills a little bit, because you kind of realize the level of camaraderie that's in that locker room. It just hasn't always been that way, Matt. And I can tell you that not only has it not always been that way here, it's very rare to see the closeness, this camaraderie, this family-type atmosphere. This is not everywhere in the NFL. And look no further than the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They are one of the most talented teams in football. If not, I mean – blue chip talent-wise, find me a team that has five all-pro players as good at important positions than the Dallas Cowboys have. And they're a team that can't get out of their own way. And part of that, I think, comes from the culture, comes from their closeness as a group, their ability to rely on each other. And I think it goes outside of just being able to rely on each other as humans. But when a guy is doing his job, you can do your job at a higher level when you know you don't have to cover for the guy next to you. Mm-hmm.
And I think that they do a good job of setting the examples in the locker room. Sean says that the reason that the units are so strong and the team is so strong is because of the self-driven leadership, the player-driven leadership. And you look at, they go out and get a guy like Frank Gore, and everybody's kind of scratching their head like, okay, you have LeSean McCoy. Why are you going out and getting a guy that's older, that has all this mileage,
right,
and he's not going to be your featured back most likely? But his unselfishness and the role that he accepts, and because, you know, as soon as they drafted Devin Singletary, you knew he was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
It was confirmed when they moved on from LeSean McCoy.
Right.
And so you're looking at that. So this rookie out of Florida Atlantic is going to outpace Frank Gore in carries, which, by the way, he still hasn't because he missed all that time.
Right.
But you get my point. He's become the featured back.
But, no question.
And that's the first time in Frank Gore's career that this has happened. Everywhere he's been, he has been the featured lead
right
back.
No, I think it's a terrific point, and his sort of acceptance to not only maybe not take that primary role, but be a guy that is going to set the example and create a career for a guy like Devin Singletary, who right now is on course. This is the exciting thing, and I saw the numbers. Somebody, I can't remember who posted the tweet. It was Field Yates of ESPN. The two top percentages of 10 or more yard runs this year with a minimum of 75 attempts. Lamar Jackson had 24% of his runs come at 10 or more yards. Number two, Devin Singletary, 19% of his touches go for 10 or more yards, which is just such an impressive stat.
Look at you with the transition, because that's number one on the list in the article, my friend.
It,
right there.
Well,
Mr. Singletary.
Well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to dive into that article. You picking the Bills this week, 23-20?
24-20.
24-20. I'm not going to give up Sal, but I won't ruin Sal's pick. I'll let Sal make his pick on the radio tomorrow. But what I will say is we're going to dive into Matt's piece a little bit. He's got five reasons why he believes the Bills will beat the Ravens this weekend. So we'll get into that next here on WGR. Reminding folks, we are live here at Buffalo Sports for another half hour or so on McKinley Parkway in Hamburg. They are open till 9 p.m. Even though we leave at 2, they will be here until 9 p.m. Unlimited skate sharpening today for any folks that walk into the store. 15% off any ski gear. That means downhill or cross-country skis, all 15% off. That means boots, bindings, the whole nine, all here at Buffalo Sports. They're also purchasing skates at 20% on top of their regular offer, which you can take advantage of until 9 p.m. And lastly, this is maybe the best one that I didn't bring up last segment. If you go on Facebook right now and like their Facebook page, you will be entered for free to win Sabres tickets on New Year's Eve and a $100 gift card to 716. So if you want to be entered to that for free, there's no purchase necessary. You just go right on Facebook, add them on Facebook, like them, and you will be entered in to win two Sabres tickets for the, I believe they play Boston on New Year's Eve, I think. Something. It's a good game, either way, and a $100 gift card from 716. So make sure you do that on Facebook and like the Buffalo Sports page there. Nate Geary, Matt Perino, New York Upstate, joining you for another half hour here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Number one, it's just him as an athlete. He has a unique skill set. You go back and you look at the different quarterbacks, whether it's Cam Newton, you know, people try and put or compare people. Cam Newton, his skill set. You look at Michael Vick, his skill set. There was an adjustment period for teams facing those players because their skill set was so unique. And I think that's just on the surface. The number one thing that jumps off the film is the skill set.
That's Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about, I don't know, some guy named Lamar Jackson is doing some stuff around the league. I love his point there, though. Is there right now is this giant adjustment period of teams trying to figure out how the heck they're going to stop Lamar Jackson. And to his point, it's been very difficult to do so. Nate Geary here live at Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway in Hamburg. I've got Matt Perino of New York Upstate joining me for the next about half hour or so. And then Sabres pregame is going to kick off here on WGR as well as the Sabres are in action at 4 o'clock today. But I want to go to Matt's article, and he puts out essentially five reasons he thinks the Bills will be victorious, get to 10 wins for the first time in a season since 1999, and he thinks they're going to get to 10 wins tomorrow after they beat the Baltimore Ravens at home. So, Matt, you start by mentioning a guy that we were kind of talking about or alluding to at the end of last segment, in Devin Singletary, and you think part of the reason that the Bills will end up victorious is because he's going to run for over 100 yards tomorrow. What gives you the confidence that this Ravens defense is beatable on the ground to the level of being able to run for 100 yards on them? And tell me a little bit about, too, why you've got this confidence in Devin Singletary. And I know, you know, I mentioned a stat to you right now. He's second in football behind only Lamar Jackson in percentage of 10 or more yard carries. He's 19% of his touches go for more than 10 yards, which is just kind of an unbelievable stat in itself. But tell me a little bit what gives you the confidence that Devin Singletary is got the goods to go up against this this Baltimore defense going up tomorrow.
So I was talking to Syracuse.com, New York Upstate is part of the Advanced Media Network, and I usually try to do shows with our sister sites when possible. And PennLive.com covers the Ravens. I was talking to Aaron Kasnitz this week for our preview, and he brought up a great stat. He said the Baltimore Ravens, as good as they're playing on defense, there's a next-gen stat out there that says when they break runs to the outside, teams that are playing the Ravens, they're averaging over 5 yards a carry, the biggest in the NFL against the Ravens. That stat is the highest of any team against on the ground. I'm getting all over the place, but you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I think that Devin Singletary's skill set, his vision, his elusiveness, his ability to cut upfield,
yep,
get outside, is going to really cause some problems for the Ravens, because the Ravens blitz more than any team in the league. So they're going to be dialing up some pressures on Josh Allen. So if Brian Daboll can get a little bit creative, I think you get Devin Singletary out in space. When they've given him the ball 20 carries or more, he's shown that he can deliver in those spots. And I just think that he's almost like he had a good game last week, not mm-hmm. great, but I feel like he's in this kind of mode where, you know, he goes and has one really good game, then an all right game, and then he comes back. And this is a spot where I think that he's evolving in this offense,
yeah,
and he's getting more comfortable, and there's a lot of confidence. I've just seen the confidence level in him change over the course of the season. He was very, you know, early on it was like you're in a room with
still
Frank Gore.
Accustomating to the league,
exactly,
though. Like, I mean, he's a young player coming from a smaller school. I mean, it's not that FIU wasn't playing good teams, or FAU, I should say, wasn't playing good teams, but they're not the SEC. They're not playing legitimate Power 5 conference teams week in and week out. So there was an adjustment period for Devin Singletary, but I think he's adjusted well. And to our point earlier with Frank Gore, there's probably not a better player in football to be paired up as a young guy trying to make it in the league than Frank Gore.
100%.
Name me a better one. I don't think you can.
And he reveres him. And actually, I did a story a couple weeks ago with Devin. I talked to his college running backs coach, Kevin Smith, who used to play for the Lions. Mm-hmm. Really good friends with Frank Gore. They trained together in the offseason. And he started showing Devin Singletary as a sophomore.
No kidding.
Right before his big breakout Heisman caliber season. They just drilled Frank Gore tape, like, over and over, and said, showed him all the things that he does. And Frank and Devin's a little bit different because Frank's a little bit more downhill and more, like, in your face and smash mouth.
He is a physical runner. He's about as physical as it gets, right.
But Devin has the ability, I think, to help this team, this offense sustain drives, and that's a big key of this game. Can they win the time of possession battle? Can they keep their defense off the field as much as they can? And they've done a good job of sustaining drives. They did a good job of that in Dallas last week. They have to do a better job of that this week and then convert. Steven Hauschka has to make kicks. That was number 5 on my list. I think that he will. If you saw Matthew Fairburn from the Athletic's article yesterday, he had a one-on-one with Steven Hauschka and about the Bills putting in a claim for Chase McLaughlin. And he asked him, like, did you see this? Like, what did you think? He's like, well, I kind of want to ask them what their intentions are here because, I saw that, and it kind of caught him by surprise. And he said, but I guess that does tell me what their intentions are. I got to start making kicks.
I got to be better. Right.
Exactly. So I think that they've pushed all the right buttons when it comes to that sort of thing. I mean, you saw what they did with Josh Allen when he was struggling after that New England game. They dialed things back for him a little bit, played a more reserved style of quarterback. And then when they felt like he had kind of cleared some hurdles with the turnovers,
they gave him a little bit more.
They unleashed him a little bit.
No, I totally agree. And to your second point here in your article, Matt, talking about that Baltimore won't necessarily, in your predictions, be able to handle the weather like the Bills, who are very used to handling this type of weather, might have some issues in the wind. And I think for me, that's where it starts, is can Lamar Jackson, who I believe at times, although no one's really going to say, Lamar Jackson, I think, leads the league in touchdowns from the pocket, which I think is a misleading stat because – yes, he leads the league in touchdowns from the pocket, but I also think I wouldn't take – there are 20 other quarterbacks that I would take from the pocket over Lamar.
Right?
Just because he's got the most doesn't mean he's the best. I think that at times they're the best when the play-action game is running and teams run zone and those linebackers can't commit to the run, and then when he pulls it out for the play-action, can't get back to their zones in time to cover the three tight ends. They're a very difficult cover because they're not traditional. They don't run traditional route concepts and scheme. They don't run outside breaking routes. Everything they do is coming back towards the middle of the field. And Lamar, this offseason, spent a lot of time changing the way he holds the football. And I don't think – now, this isn't a big deal, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying something that's like a super big deal. He doesn't throw a lot of spirals. Now, that's not usually a problem, but in wind – when you're trying to cut through wind, if you can't throw a really tight spiral, it becomes pretty difficult to throw the ball accurately over the middle of the field and not floating balls high or going with throwing balls into the dirt. The wind is going to affect one quarterback more than the other this week, and that's Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen has shown he can throw 20-yard outbreaking routes into 25-mile-per-hour winds on the money. He did that twice this year against the Eagles and then the second home game against Washington. He was able to throw into the wind against a pretty stiff, significant wind.
So the Philadelphia game is the game that, when I put out this article, everybody wanted to talk about, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles game. But if you remember that game, yes, they had some success running the football, obviously.
Yes.
Both Jordan Howard and Miles
Sanders. And the screen game killed him in that game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was all one momentum moment that switched the entire game.
The Miles Sanders run.
Exactly. But not even that. It was the turnover. Josh Allen
had
the turnover on the run.
Yep.
And Philadelphia came and the momentum switched.
Right from there, because they scored it before the half.
Exactly.
Yeah, scored before
you
the half.
Can't do that in this game. If you turn the ball
completely
over against this Baltimore Ravens team,
they will score on
They're going to score on you, or, you know, it's just going to flip. It's going to let them get into what they want to do, which is pound you all day, game long. I was talking to Lorenzo Alexander this week, and he said one of the big things is he watches the joy that they get on the Baltimore side by beating teams up for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So you know what he said? He went over to Ed Oliver, Star Lotulelei, Jerry Hughes, and he said, listen, we are going to beat them up this week. And so what is your biggest strength right now, if you're the Bills' defense, your secondary?
Yeah.
You have athletes everywhere, especially your two safeties, who I think you can deploy. If you're Sean McDermott, on 10 days preparation time, you can deploy them in creative ways to try to contain Lamar.
To your point, I think the Bills are one of very few teams that can run man-to-man against the Baltimore Ravens offense. one of the very few teams I think are capable of doing that personnel-wise. Most teams, I think, would tell you you're crazy if you're going to run man-to-man coverage against Lamar Jackson. You're going to turn the back of three or four defenders away from the quarterback. No way, you're insane. And I say, yeah, maybe. If you have the personnel to cover tight ends man-to-man with a Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, or if you want to bring it down to Taron Johnson and have him covering a tight end, if you want to have Tre'Davious White covering a tight end, we've seen them do that in games when you have to worry about tight ends. You know, I think most pointedly the Patriots game 2 years ago when he's a rookie, he's on Gronk a lot of that game. But to your point, I think the one thing with this Ravens offense is they tend to get the looks they want. Mm-hmm. And I would be surprised if Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott don't watch enough film this week to say, we're not going to give you looks you want. We're going to force you into things that we want. And I don't think a lot of defensive coordinators in the league have done a good job of getting them in positions that they're not comfortable with. And how you do that, I'm not saying that's an easy thing. I'm not saying there's an easy answer to that. But I think that the Bills are unique at the linebacker and safety position that the last few weeks, the Ravens haven't played a defense that have the athleticism, that have the versatility of a Tremaine Edmonds to either play A as the stand-up linebacker. I personally think that Tremaine Edmonds is going to spend a lot of time on the line of scrimmage. That's what I think this week. I think you're going to see a lot of bare front. I think you're going to see a lot of five. I think sometimes six defensive linemen with Lorenzo Alexander and Tremaine Edmonds both playing at the line of scrimmage. I don't think that that's far-fetched because I think you have to get unique in how you defend this offense.
Yes, and I think that I'm not a film guy. Like, you really know the X's and O's of the game. But just from a fundamental standpoint of football, right? If you keep everything in front of you with considering the 25 to 35 mile per hour winds, they're not going to be attacking the secondary downfield. You can
certainly
keep everything in front of you. This Bills defense thrives in making offenses try to go 10, 15 plays to score
absolutely
points. So then the turnover game comes into play. Lamar put one on the dirt last week.
That's right.
I think everybody's going to be, every time they're around him or Mark Ingram or whoever, they're going to be ripping at him. And you know what? They might give up a few plays, but if they get that turnover, or one or two turnovers, that's going to change the complete dynamics of this game. And I really do think, like my fourth point says, that Josh Allen is at a stage where you can expect and believe in the fact that he can do enough to score enough points and make enough plays to do enough to win this game.
I think the thing that I'm most excited for, Matt, is if the Bills are able to win. And I know that we've had some of these Josh Allen is here moments, right? I think last week's probably the most obvious example of that. But I think there are examples going back to as late as early in the season, in the first and second game, where he has those down moments early in that first half against the Jets, but he's able to bring his team back and sort of overcome some of those mistakes. The thing about Josh that I think I'm most excited for about this matchup is if they are able to win, what the conversation will be like if Josh is able to go head-to-head against a quarterback that no one can solve. Not that Josh Allen's going to have any effect on how they stop Lamar Jackson, but I do think that there is part of this game that might come down to if the Bills' offense can be efficient and they can score and continue scoring and getting good field position and maybe even more so putting the Ravens in difficult field position spots with Corey Bohorquez, and who has been very good this season, by the way. I want to give a shout-out to Corey Bohorquez because a lot of us had questions about whether Corey was going to be a reliable factor on the special teams. He's been their best special teams player, no question. But the thing I'm most excited about is sort of the takes and the narratives that people are going to take away from this football game if they go head-to-head and Josh figures out a way to win this football game.
Yeah, and Lorenzo said that, you know, it's easy to talk about complementary football because, of course, you want to play good on both sides of the ball. But he said this is the kind of game where it's even more critical because your offense can put pressure on the other team's offense that the defense can't put on it.
That's right.
If you score points, that's why I think you defer to the fourth quarter, you
absolutely
take the ball, you go down, and you try to just run it down their throat, throw it downfield, and score. Come out there, get 7 points to start this game.
I think the other thing, too, is I said this last week, I believed it, and I thought that it was going to be the reason they won, is the Bills were always going to give up 350-plus to the Dallas Cowboys. That is an offense that is going to put up their yards almost regardless of how you defend them.
Right.
It's when you get within the 20-yard line is can you hold them to deeper field goals? And as we're finding, most teams aren't very comfortable with their kicker right now. The only team that is the Baltimore Ravens this week. Mm-hmm. So they're like probably they probably feel the most comfortable about their kicker. Than I mean, he's maybe the best ever. But can you force them into field goals? Because I think that's an offense that will get frustrated by the fact that they have to settle for field goals. So that listen, they may go down the field in that very first drive. They may score 7 points, and it might look easy. But that isn't, to me, an indicator of what the rest of the game will look like. Because the Bills are known at this point, really all season, they're a bend-but-don't-break unit. And they really exemplify exactly what that means. And I know that's cliche, the bend-but-don't. But that really is their mantra. Like, that is how they win football games is, sure, we're going to give up your yardage. You're going to get some yards on third down at the end of the fourth quarter. Your quarterback might throw for 300. Although only one has thrown for 300 against the Bills this year, and a lot of it was in garbage time with Dak last week. But I guess my point is here, to your complimentary point, is the Bills can control things by giving up yards, but not necessarily points. And I think that's going to be a big key is when it comes down to the 20, because I think that the thing that scares me the most about this Ravens team is their short yardage is on third and five. They have every time they have two chances to get that. And two chances to get 5 yards with that running offense, the average just as a whole offense, 5.6 yards per carry, they're going to be, if this trend continues, Matt, the first team since the 1964 Cleveland Browns, which, by the way, had the best running back of all time, Jim Brown, as a running back, yep, to be the first team to average 200 yards a game rushing.
Yeah. I think the closest team is at, what, 148 right now?
Right. And who even is who's the second team? It's San Francisco?
The 49ers. And Raheem Mostert. And that's another I didn't bring him up, but that's another guy that, you know, he's obviously like a track guy, like a speed guy. The success that he had last week and the way that he was able to hit runs on the outside just makes me think Devin can do some work in this game. But I think Ed Oliver, too, he is a major key. I put up a story about him on Friday. And I don't know if you have to go to a break. We could talk about it when we get back. But I think Ed Oliver, the arc of his season has impressed me because of we talked about it all in the draft lead up. Like, is he a character concern? Like, what's his work ethic like? Like, all those questions with the Major Applewhite
thing in Houston.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So we had all these questions. Well, this guy has just come in here and worked
quietly
his butt off
work.
From the start of rookie minicamp until now, he has maintained that level.
And he certainly was frustrated with Jordan Howard playing over him. There's no question about it. But it didn't let him sort of get into this pouty me thing. It motivated him. And now there's no question they're a better run defense when he's on the field. And I think maybe even more impressively, he is turning into the pass rusher I think a lot of us thought he'd be.
Yes.
You know?
And that kind of wherewithal, it's so fitting that they put out that Bruce Smith video this week with he said he always wanted to go for the football because turning the ball over changes the dynamic of the game. I mean, if Ed Oliver is going to have that kind of savvy
from the inside
as a pass rusher,
too,
I mean, that opens up a whole new level to what this defense can be.
Quick timeout. When we come back, we will close things off for the afternoon here. We're live at Buffalo Sports until 2 o'clock, but you can still come in at any time. They're open till 9 o'clock, free unlimited skate sharpenings today. And also, if you like their Facebook page today, they just put out a post for free, you will be entered in to win 2 Sabres tickets on New Year's Eve and a $100 gift card to 716. All that here live from Buffalo Sports on WGR. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR live from Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway in Hamburg. I'm going to remind everybody that they are open till 9 p.m. today. There's free unlimited skate sharpening, 15% off any ski gear, which means helmets, skis themselves, boots, you name it. They've got it here, and they've got quite the selection right as you walk through the door. So 15% off all downhill and cross-country ski gear today and today only. And also, if you purchase or if you have a bunch of ice skates that you're looking to trade in, they are giving 20% above regular value today only here at Buffalo Sports and McKinley Parkway. So make sure you come out and visit Dave and the staff here at Buffalo Sports, and they'll take good care of you as you head into the holiday season. So, Matt, I guess we've got to go, Derek, so that he doesn't yell at me. We've got like another minute or so here because Derek is my radio babysitter. But The last thing I want to ask you before tomorrow, obviously you put your article together, which you can find at NewYorkUpstate.com, but I'm looking for your X factor. Like, if this ends up being a close game, which I think most of us are predicting, I think that's how the Bills win this game, is if it is a close game. I know you mentioned Ed Oliver, so that might be where this thing goes, but who's sort of the one guy that you can look to is if he has a really, really good day, maybe if Ed Oliver has his career day, if somebody has the really good day tomorrow, who is it, and is he the reason that this team ends up beating what a lot of us think is maybe one of the better teams we've seen, better offenses we've seen in quite some time?
Wouldn't it be something if after everything this season, this is the Robert Foster game?
Oh, God, wouldn't it?
Because the way they're using him, and wouldn't it be funny too?
He's breaking off chunk plays
now.
Yeah,
and they could kind of use him in some option type of jet sweep plays, and I just think he's been, like, knocking on the door. So I think that this could be a game where Robert Foster gets going here.
I hope so.
I think Josh Allen will have a good dual threat kind of game, 200 to 230 passing, maybe – approach 100 rushing. He hasn't done that this year yet.
He hasn't needed to.
Yeah. So this could be a throwback game where Josh Allen kind of brings out that toughness, that running, that rushing attack. But I just, you know what it is? It's hard to go on an 8-game win streak in the NFL and extend it to 9 on the road in a place like this.
Yeah.
I just think there's a few factors working against them. But, you know, this team has to show that mentally they're at a place where they can sustain a few punches, come back, and deliver a knockout punch.
Against a good team.
Exactly.
Against a really good team.
An elite
the best
team.
Of the best. And I'll tell you what, if the Bills can figure out a way to win tomorrow, they're going to be in the conversation for not only winning the AFC East, they're going to be in a conversation of, is this team good enough to win the AFC and be the first and be the number one seed? And let me just tell you, if this team gets a home playoff game in the divisional round as a number one seed, This place is going to go
it's
insane.
It's like Bruce Smith said.
This town is going to go it's just going to
go. They'll show you how much they love you. And I'll tell you right now, you talk about bold prediction, picking the Bills tomorrow. If they win this game, I think they're going to win the AFC East.
Wow.
I think they're going to go into New England, knock them out. Now, they need some help.
They do. But I think,
if you beat this
Ravens team, I think you have the goods to beat the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
I think you do.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome time.
Appreciate it. Thanks to all the staff here at Buffalo Sports for taking good care of us. Make sure you come down again. Free unlimited skate sharpening today. 15% off all ski gear. They're purchasing ice skates for 20% above original value. And if you go on their Facebook post right now, give it a like, you'll be entered to win 2 free Sabres tickets to the New Year's Eve game and a $100 gift card to 716. For me, Nate Geary, I got Matt Perino. Thanks to Sal Capaccio. Thanks to Matt Verderam. Thanks to Sean Stepner as well for being guests today here on Sports Talk Saturday. Until tomorrow, where Bills pregame kicks off at 7 a.m. Eastern with my man Derek and Lou DiBiase for Breakfast with the Bills. And maybe more importantly, Sabres Canucks tonight, 4 p.m. here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.